If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello and welcome to the HP Podcast, your weekly show about video games. I stumble over that every... I've said that intro like 100 times by this point. It doesn't matter. The show's about video games and sometimes whatever else we want. I'm Ben, and with me here today is Brandon, the world's number one Mario fan. Brandon, are you excited for the upcoming release of the Mario movie?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, me too, actually.
A little bit. It actually looks really cool. Everyone loves to hate on it.
Yeah.
Everyone loves to hate Chris Pratt. I like the man myself.
I love Chris Pratt.
Maybe not personally.
I mean, I don't know him personally.
I enjoy his works.
Yes.
And the animation is undoubtedly gorgeous.
Yeah. Now, I'm glad you said undoubtedly. Mm-hmm. Don't say undoubtedly. There's no second D in that word.
Undoubtedly?
They say it's correct to say undoubtedly.
Mm-hmm. Undoubtedly?
Indubitably.
Exquisitely. No, that's not a word.
Yeah. Dave is also here with us. Dave, will you be coming...
Speaking of exquisite, right?
Exquisite. Will you be coming from Toronto to the Pittsburgh region to watch the Mario movie in theaters with us?
I'm offended you even needed to ask, Ben.
So that's a yes?
That's 100%. Yeah. We're doing it.
You're going to come here in April.
Yeah. HP April picnic movies.
Don't make me hard, Dave.
I don't know if my heart can take this.
Marshmallows and ginger ale are on me, so I got that.
Well, last time you came to visit, you brought a case of Busch beer.
Hey,
I didn't bring that. We bought. Phil took us to the store. The fucking shadiest, like, 24-hour beer convenience store that he could bring us to.
Sure.
And Phil was like, oh, this is the one where they won't card you, because all we had was like passports and Canadian ID.
Right.
So you're like, we don't want to go somewhere where they're going to give us a hard time, because, you know, it's a smaller town. So if they see an ID they don't recognize, then it's get out of here, you hoodlum. So,
right.
Who did you go with?
Phil took Duncan and I over to,
He's the dead guy.
Oh, shit. Oh, Phil. Phil. Yeah. Long forgotten.
Yeah.
We miss you, Phil.
Poor one. I'll never hear you say that.
I know.
He doesn't care about us anymore.
I'm putting it in the ether, though.
People who have only started, and I know there are new people listening to this show in the last month, even.
They don't know who Phil is.
Like, I see the numbers, and they're like, why do they talk about this Phil guy all the time? It's kind of like in Deep Rock, where they're like, for Carl! And we're always talking about Phil, and people are like, oh, it must be the joke, like the Carl thing in Deep Rock.
Dude, Phil is a part of the lore, though, now.
That's true.
If he's on the show again, just know that he's not actually there, but like Brandon has like gone back and picked out audio snippets from like old episodes and just like spent hours piecing them together.
Because
he can do that. Yeah. Oh, he's good at that stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. My many years of soundboard making have finally paid off.
Did you guys ever use soundboards?
Oh, yeah. I always wanted them to be used for a greater purpose than they actually ever were. Like, I wanted to have a conversation with somebody with them.
Yeah.
But it never quite works out.
Never works out. I remember when, I think it was the 360, the early 360 days, I had a soundboard and I'd play like stupid sounds over voice chat. But the crazy part was I'd have to like have my controller in my hand. And since I wasn't sitting in a computer or anything, I would have to grab my laptop, which was next to my chair where I sat, and I had the soundboard loaded up on it. And so I'd like be talking and moving, and then somebody would say something, I'd want to respond. So I'd grab my laptop, hold it next to my headset microphone, and hit the play button as fast as I could on the soundboard of Arnold Schwarzenegger or something.
Yeah.
And the timing was never quite right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, you're ready to put in a good quip, and it's like you hear the shuffling, the ruffling of papers trying to grab your laptop, and then like 5 whole seconds later of pregnant pause, you're just like, Bruh.
Yeah. That's pretty much how it goes.
Bruh. Like, all right, man. Yeah. All right. That worked.
Dave, did you ever have any trolling moments in your youth or your adulthood for that matter?
No, I don't think so. I mean, maybe I did something and people thought I was trolling them, but no, I don't think so.
That's a shame.
I'm on the straight and narrow.
You were the one who got trolled then.
Yeah, I'm pretty gullible, so yeah, I can be trolled pretty easily.
You're like, I'm actually playing with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mom. Look, listen.
I can, you know what? You've just sort of awoken something because I can specifically remember as a kid, like, people like trying to convince me of something, and like I'd be getting really worked up trying to be like, no, and they'd be like, dude, I'm fucking with you, and like I'd be so mad. So yeah, I'm very prone to being trolled. So damn. Nice. Have at it.
Well, if you want to troll us even harder, the best thing you could do to troll us would be to go and sign up for our Patreon. It's over at patreon.com/handsomephantom. It's $1 a month. I mean, you can pay more if you want to, but really the value, the ad-free early access, is at the dollar level. We appreciate it. Appreciate all of you who already support us. You don't have to do that to listen to the show, but it sure does help. Helps us pay for the website hosting fees and all the other stuff. Also, we have a Discord. You don't have to pay anything to be in that except for a little piece of your soul to be part of the Discord. And you can do that over at handsomephantom.com/discord. Join the community over there, chatting with us. We appreciate it. And we'd love to have you. I can't guarantee that we won't mock you or that someone won't mock you. I won't mock you probably. Unless you've been around a while. But it's a fun time. And we talk about video games and Subway sandwiches. And
don't remind me.
Don't remind. Yeah. The Subway sandwiches are not great.
Ever since Jared, you know, that it's just, no. You know, went downhill.
Yeah, I mean.
He was kind of the catalyst.
Is he still in prison?
I would hope so.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. But I mean,
Lord willing.
Yeah. I don't know.
He just loved holding up those pants.
He loved the pants.
He loved holding up those pants. He loved kids.
He loved holding up the pants and he loved taking pants off of children.
Which one do you think he loved more?
Oh, my God. He only went to jail for one of those things.
Oh, God, you're right. He probably
he
liked the kids more.
To my knowledge, he never took his pants off in public. But
to your knowledge,
the court would know.
The court?
The court.
The court?
Yeah, dude.
They may not. Not everything that happens in your life goes to court. Have you ever taken off your pants in public?
That's a scary thought. I'm sure I have.
How about this one, Brandon? The one I know the answer to. Have you ever urinated in public?
Absolutely.
Have you ever gone to court for it?
No.
Therefore, logic would dictate that Jared took off his pants in public.
Well, now I am going to go to court for this, and it's going to be your fault, motherfucker.
Well,
what's the statute of limitations for public indecency? Let me check.
Let's talk about video games. This is a little bit of an old story, but because we talk about Ubisoft so often on the show, and Dave brought it up to me, it's still a good thing to talk about, I suppose. VGC, Video Game Chronicle, reports that Ubisoft has canceled 3 unannounced games and delayed Skull and Bones. Yes.
Ugh.
Again. For I think the 6th or 7th time now. Announcing the news on Wednesday, the company said it's facing major challenges as the industry continues to shift towards mega brands and long-lasting titles that can reach players across the globe, across platforms and business models. Ubisoft said it has spent the last 4 years attempting to adapt its biggest brands, Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, Ghost Recon, Rainbow Six, and The Division, to these converging trends. However, the games from this investment phase have yet to be released, while our recent launches have not performed as well as expected. The company said software sales over the key holiday season have been markedly and surprisingly slower than expected, with Mario and Rabbids, Sparks of Hope, and Just Dance 2023 among the games to have failed to meet expectations. Here's the fun one. Skull and Bones, which following a series of previous delays and was most recently scheduled to be released this March, will now arrive early in Ubisoft's next fiscal year, which runs from April until March of 2024. Ubisoft claimed the additional time has already paid off and brought impressive improvements to its quality, which has been confirmed by recent playtests, and expects players will be positively surprised by the evolution. Dave, I want to ask you, if a game has been in development for like the majority of your life and it's supposed to come out in a couple weeks, and then they say, okay, we need a little more time, sometime within the next 14 to 16 months, does that inspire confidence in you?
No, No, and really nothing about Skull and Bones, unfortunately, has inspired any confidence. But I mean, there is a little sort of thread we can pull from this to maybe inspire a little confidence, which is that, you know, if what you just said there at the end was true, that, you know, the quality is there and Ubisoft is allowing the dev team to push it back one more time, then I'm sure Ubisoft as publishers, you know, kind of trust what is coming. Because, you know, if they were just trying to cut bait with it and just saying, just get it out, we're sick of dealing with this, then I feel like they wouldn't allow them to sort of delay it again. So I don't know, maybe there is something there. I feel like the masses are just sick of talking about this game anyway. So yeah. I really can't see it being any sort of success, but who knows? Maybe it will still actually be an okay game.
It's really interesting to me, Brandon, that they mentioned that they can't keep up with all these mega franchises, mm-hmm. and they have Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed is a mega franchise. Now, I know they're probably talking about Call of Duty and Apex and those kind of games, but I don't know. What do you think? Ubisoft seems to be hurting. Their stock price keeps dipping. Yves Guillemot, the CEO or whatever he is, president, came out and like told the after they canceled all these games, told the employees he needed more work from them. What's going on over there, man?
It's looking bad. I would say it would be a good idea to just pay the Portuguese government and just be done with it. Yeah. Like, that's one part of me says that. Just give them a big lump sum, end it all. But what I'm thinking is that there's not too many irons in the fire right now.
Yeah.
And so maybe if there was something big happening, like if we were talking about Assassin's Creed right now, I would believe that they would have just shit this out. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
I believe that Skull and Bones, if there was something else interesting going on, I think they would have just bitten the bullet, to be honest with you, on this game. But because there's nothing else going on, all the other titles are suffering.
Right.
I mean, I think they're kind of at a point where they're like, we can't really afford to have more bad press. So I guess, you know, delaying a game that is inevitably delayed is bad press. But at this point, it's kind of like status quo for this title specifically anyway. So I don't know. I can kind of see it both ways. I want it to be good. You know, I obviously always want games to be good unless there is like something weird going on behind the scenes that makes me completely despise the team or something, which really isn't happening.
Yeah, I was going to say, name an example of that.
I mean, I had some ill feeling towards Blizzard for a while.
True.
But yeah. Anyway. For many reasons.
Yeah.
But no, I want it to be good, but part of me just wishes this game would go away. I want it to come out so I could stop hearing its name.
The only reason we are hearing its name is because it's not coming out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So and for them to say the people that are playtesting it are feeling positive about it, are we hearing any of that's like internal playtesting? Because that means nothing. Literally nothing. Until it's in the hands of people, like normal people, reviewers, websites, I'm not going to really believe that. I just don't believe it, I guess. And, you know, the screenshots can look as good as they want, but if the game is empty and meaningless, then it doesn't really matter. So,
yeah. And sorry for the sneeze. I was going to mute myself, but I realized that we're technically on the same track, so that would be impossible
to do. That's all right.
Sorry, go ahead, Ben.
I was going to ask a question about Assassin's Creed, but I want to hear your question first.
Yeah, no, I kind of want to speak on the Ubisoft thing as a whole, because I do wonder how much this has to do with, I suspect Ubisoft had to make a substantial upfront investment to obtain the rights or the license or whatever to make a game for both Avatar and this Star Wars game. Last year was an uncharacteristically light year for Ubisoft. We had Rainbow Six Extraction, which, you know, I really don't think they could have lost a lot of money on that game, because that, let's be honest, that was a game that was made out of DLC.
Yeah.
It was a huge flop, though. I mean, people, like, astronomical flop, to be honest with you, but.
And then, you know, you had Just Dance, which it's a successful franchise, but it literally comes out every year. But that's got to be an expensive game, because those music tracks that you have to put in the game cost a lot of money. And then Mario is Mario. So I don't know if the original plan was to have Assassin's Creed Mirage come out this year. That would have really changed things. But I was okay with this news just because I want to see more of what I love from Ubisoft, which is the Divisions, the Assassin's Creed, Splinter Cell, which is coming. And it looks like these canceled games weren't like it's not like Splinter Cell Remake is being canceled. It's like the original sort of new IP stuff that, probably isn't going to come to fruition, which, in a way that sucks. But at the same time, if they're really going to focus on that, plus, the Avatar game and the Star Wars game, then sometimes kind of focusing in a little bit more is a good thing. And yeah. For me personally, this was promising news. Skull and Bones is what it is. But just as a whole, I think this is kind of good. They've already said that Assassin's Creed is going to be diversified in a way that, we're not going to get three more games that are like Valhalla and Odyssey and Origins, but we're going to have different experiences. So I like that approach, and I'm okay with what they're doing here. As far as what Yves Guillemot said about, this is on the workers to really turn this around. In a way, like, that makes sense, but you can kind of frame that and phrase it in a way that makes it more like sound more like a team effort rather than just putting all the onus on the people who make the least amount in your company. So, but otherwise, this isn't as alarming to me as I think it could be.
Yeah. And honestly, I forgot about the fucking Avatar game altogether.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure they paid a boatload for licensing, but as it stands, the Puss in Boots movie has a higher tomato score than Avatar. So Maybe I'm excited for the Puss in Boots game.
It is good. The movie. I watched it.
I'm hearing great things.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm hearing great things.
I mean, it's still Puss in Boots, but it's being a Shrek franchise movie, pretty good.
Dude.
Pretty dang good.
Can't wait.
I'm excited for Assassin's Creed Mirage, and I'm hoping if they do what they say they're going to do with it and it sells well. Now, here's the thing. It will sell well because it's Assassin's Creed, and it will satisfy people who like Assassin's Creed now, and it will satisfy people like me who used to like Assassin's Creed, but when they deviated, whatever. I'm hoping that it will bring people back in and that will encourage them to do more games like that. But when they keep putting out the same kinds of games, was Far Cry 6 last year?
It was 2020. It was late 2021.
Yeah, that was two years ago.
Well,
yeah. Remember they released...
It did well, though, is what I was getting at.
Far Cry 6 did well?
I think so.
The game that had a game of the year that didn't get nominated for the game of the year?
Yes, that game.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a hate boner for that game. Anyway,
I knew you hated it.
But... I'm sorry. I don't hate it. It's just so...
It did well.
A lot of people like it.
What I was getting at was it did well for them, but it was bloated. Yeah. It could have done better, I think. And this is all speculation on my part. Obviously, Valhalla did insane numbers, and it's gigantic. But I'm just hoping that Assassin's Creed Mirage does what they say it's going to do and saves the company. And I don't care if it saves the company for the sake of the company. I care about it because I want more companies to make games that have money. I just think they need to lay off about – I don't want anybody to lose their job, but 20,000 employees to turn out the same game every year is too many.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay, moving on. I got to find it here. Rumor time. Now this, we've seen some things that say this may not be true, but it's in the news, so we're going to say it.
Yeah.
Video Game Chronicle reports that a leaked Suicide Squad image appears to confirm a battle pass and more. The image, which originated on the 4chan forum, that's how you always know things are quality, if they're on 4chan first. Has been verified by a VGC source, is understood to originate from a recent test build, and shows various menus planned for the Rocksteady co-op game. The battle pass and multiple currencies shown in the image have inspired debate on social media about how extensive the live service elements will be for the title. However, a development source told VGC that while a battle pass is planned for the game, it will be focused on cosmetic items such as skins. In addition, the various currencies shown at the top of the leaked image are understood to be XP, used to power up and customize the skill trees of each anti-hero, effectively making them unique to the player. You don't need to start off debuffed and weak, VGC was told. You just start off great and can get ridiculous, like Arkham Knight's Batman. Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, the next game from the creator of the Batman Arkham series, is billed as a genre-bending action-adventure shooter set in an open-world metropolis, playable solo, or with up to four players in online co-op. Dave, I think we've talked about being excited for this game, at least I've talked about it, and it seems like we don't know for sure if this screenshot is legit, based on some other stuff we saw today, from what I understand. But we do have a spokesperson saying that a battle pass is planned for the game. We've talked about battle passes a lot, but I want to hear your thoughts on a battle pass in basically, you know, a successor to the Arkham trilogy or series.
Yeah, I mean, when this first sort of came out yesterday, I saw quite a bit of people just instantly turning their back on a game that I assume they were originally somewhat intrigued by. You know, it's Rocksteady, it's still in the DC universe. I wouldn't say it surprised me, but I do feel differently just because of all the games that I've played that were launched with some sort of games as a service, battle pass, in-app revenue sort of element. I've paid the entry fee. So I paid the, you know, my money to play the game, and I felt completely fulfilled by the base game, by the vanilla experience. So I'm okay with this. As long as Justice League has a robust sort of base game and as it has a robust and lucrative sort of feeling, like if I pay full price for that game on day one, and I feel like I've got my money's worth, which for me is like, you know, a memorable campaign experience, 20 to 40 hours, something like that, then that's okay. And you know, I have really fond memories of games like Destiny and The Division and other games like that, where, you know, you can pay for the vanilla experience, and then if you want to do more, it's there for you. And I felt sort of the need to sometimes go back and kind of revisit some of the new stuff like 3 or 4 or 6 months after I've sort of finished it upon release. So I don't know if Suicide Squad is going to be like that, but I mean, this is okay. Again, as long as that base game experience is robust and I don't feel like I'm missing out on a lot because I don't want to pay more for that stuff, then to me, that's okay. The other thing about this is there's two sort of contemporaries that you can look at here. One is Avengers, and the other is Gotham Knights. A lot of people have speculated that Gotham Knights started out life as a game very much like Avengers, where it was a games as a service. There was a lot of paid elements, a lot of grinding and stuff like that. And then they saw the reaction to Avengers and sort of about faced and took all that stuff out. And it just doesn't feel right because of that. And then on the other side, you have Avengers, where like that game was built from the ground up and, you know, it was received the way it was. And then you bring in a game like Guardians of the Galaxy, where it's day one, this is completely narrative driven. You play through the story and you're done. You can go back and get collectibles and stuff. And, you know, that game is very highly regarded, Guardians of the Galaxy. But of the three, like, which made the most money? It's Avengers. Yeah. I know we hate Avengers and everybody loves to hate on it.
I don't know if it made the most money.
I know it
brought in the most revenue, but I think they still lost money on it technically, but right, I get your point.
Yeah. Sorry. From a revenue generating standpoint, yes. Which is what publishers and people who fund games look at, that's where the money comes from. I don't think gamers are particularly good at voting with their wallets, unfortunately. So as much as people are up in arms over, you know, this sort of sneaky inclusion of a battle pass in a game that we assumed wouldn't have it, at the end of the day, people are going to buy this game. They're probably going to spend a lot of money on the cosmetics and stuff because publishers know that we're going to do it. So, I mean, vote with your wallet. Yeah, I'm not turned off by this, is just to kind of sum it up. This is okay for me as long as there's enough there on day one.
Brandon, we've talked a lot about battle passes in the past, and I know that we're fans of them, at least when they're done well. And they're given, you know, it's just cosmetics and stuff like that. But here's the thing I want to ask you as someone who played a lot of Avengers, mm-hmm. and also forced me to buy it for $60. one of the biggest complaints you and many others had, myself included, about Avengers was that the battle passes were hero specific. Mm-hmm. And if this article, the screenshot is to be believed, it sounds like that may be the case, that you'll have a battle pass for each character, mm-hmm. and it'll be specific to that character. you played more Avengers than I did. Did that ever turn out to be worthwhile, like a good thing?
The game wasn't good enough to propel me to kind of delve into that.
Yeah.
I think the biggest differentiator between what you're saying about the Avengers in this game is that there's only four characters.
True.
That's the biggest part. And it, obviously, if there's many, many levels, it can equal the same amount of levels too. But I think Dave brought up a good point. And this is completely reactionary as far as I'm concerned. Everybody up in arms about, oh my God, I had no idea this. Like, games have this now.
Right.
That's the way games work. And I know we don't typically...
Crash Team Racing had about
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, for God's sakes, like, what did you think was going to happen? This is just the way games work now. And if it is fake, it's a really good fake. Yeah. I feel like it looks excellent. Like, I would easily believe that the photo that's been going around is... in game. In fact, I still kind of believe that.
Yeah.
Just because almost it's too good. You know, we've seen a lot of leaks over the years, but this seems likely. I don't know.
Just to reiterate, if I had seen anything that made me say, no, it's definitely fake, I probably wouldn't even talk about it.
Right.
But
right.
I'm just saying, to cover our butts, essentially.
Right. No, exactly.
There has been some people doubting it's, you know.
No, and there always is. But no, I'm going to double down. I think a lot of people are just reacting.
Yeah.
Everyone.
People don't do that.
And we even do this to an extent on the show. I mean, you know, you see something that might rub you the wrong way, you're going to instantly be defensive. But something that we need to take into consideration when thinking about this sort of thing is, one, it's not a final product. Right. We don't know if this is real. And Rocksteady has always made good games. So even a game like Guardians, had some... paid cosmetics. If I'm remembering correctly, you could buy some suits. Maybe there wasn't very many, but I'm pretty sure there was at least
Guardians one. Of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
I think you could get the pre-order stuff, but everything else was unlocked in game.
If you didn't have the pre-order stuff or like the extra bonus, extra edition, you could like buy things, but that's still like on the same vein. So like, let's not forget that like every single transaction in a video game is not necessarily bad.
Right.
And once again, as Dave mentioned, vote with your wallet, and if you don't want to play that, that's fine. And we'll know soon enough. It will be out the day after launch if the microtransactions are invasive. So if you're really questioning it and it's going to turn you completely around on this game right away, just wait. But it's probably not. I mean, let's be honest. It's probably not. At least I would hope it wouldn't be.
Right.
So I think that there's been enough games that have put intrusive microtransactions or like game-changing microtransactions in their games long enough now that companies still try and squeak stuff in, like 2K, a big shyster.
You can unlock this year's graphics with the battle pass. Right.
There's a freaking State Farm commercial literally in the campaign of the NBA 2K. But no, so this has not changed anything for me. In fact, I'm actually kind of glad of this news, because if the battle pass is good, I'm interested.
Yeah.
Just plain and simple. I'm interested. I want to unlock cosmetic stuff. I want my character to look cool. Some people don't give a fuck about that sort of thing. I love it.
I love it. Yeah. I'm into battle passes to some extent. Where I'm not into battle passes is when the battle pass makes you grind for 700 years to unlock the first level or something.
Right.
That bothers me. I'm not saying it should be a freebie. Like, they want you to spend your time and actually be invested the whole season so that you don't leave and then not come back for the next season to buy the battle pass. I get it. But come on. If I pay for this thing, I want to know that I'm going to get... it's going to be attainable without spending my entire 3-month period of the season on it.
Right. So, and who knows? It might just be one season and that's it. You know, like, who even knows if this is going to continue? It might be like the game's launching. There's a battle pass. That's it.
Well, this is also an old build, so they might not even have it anymore.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
I'm sure they do, since it means extra money. But,
right. Yeah. It's all speculation, but this game looks too good.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't seen the world of this game, but, you know, between the history Rocksteady has of making quality games and the way the footage has come out of the combat of this game, I've talked about it. I'm not going to say it again, but it looks good.
Yeah.
And this doesn't change anything for me.
I'm hoping it has enough of a robust single player aspect to it that even if the battle pass is bad, I don't care. I still want to play the game. But if it's going to be a live service, it needs to be a good battle pass.
it almost has, like, what else does it have?
I assume you'll be able to group up with your team and go on missions.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly. But, you know, if it doesn't have at least a passable story, the only draw would be to play co-op with your friends, which I guess is fine. But
right.
I don't know. I feel like it has to be good.
Unless you're Dave and you don't have any friends who will play games with you.
Damn, dude.
Hey.
Don't invite you to play Deep Rock Galactic.
Damn, dude.
Sorry, Dave.
You guys literally changed platforms so you couldn't play with me. Or I couldn't play
with you. You told him? No, I'm just
kidding. To be fair, Dave, I changed platforms in order to be able to play with you at all. My actual platform, the first time I ever played that game was on a PC. So
damn.
You guys don't understand.
Get wrecked. Just get good, Dave.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, Atomic Heart, a big focus point of mine. I love the look of this game. This comes from Alt Char, which I assume means like alternatecharacter.com. I don't know.
Oh, that sounds right.
It's a site that apparently is very slow to load articles. And I know that because I'm currently waiting on it to load this article. It's not happening. I'm gonna try to switch to a browser.
Dude, the Roll 34 is strong with this game, from what I hear on Twitter.
Okay, so I just discovered that today.
Oh yeah,
I went on.
I had no idea. No. My name is Ben. I had no idea.
I was a little bit. Here's the thing. So I did a video about Atomic Heart. It's like everything.
I'm sure you watched a bunch of videos.
I did watch a bunch of videos, but I put a character like one of the robot ladies on the thumbnail, and then today I opened up the subreddit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these not safe for work pictures. And I'm like, what's this? Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the hell are people doing? Like, mm-hmm. These are robots. If it was just attractive ladies, that's fine. Dude, they're robots.
That is the rule.
I understand.
That's literally the rule.
Okay, but I wasn't on the Rule 34.
The internet has some overflow, you know, whenever it's bursting at the seams.
Highly anticipated shooter, Atomic Heart.
I'm just doing some research on this.
4K 60 FPS.
I'm excited about what you're saying.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see this news.
Highly anticipated shooter, Atomic Heart, will run at 4K 60 FPS on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X consoles.
Yes.
And I assume on PC as well. According to the developer Munfish, when asked on Twitter whether the game supports lower resolution with 60 FPS mode on consoles, Munfish replied that the resolution will actually be 4K in closed areas like dungeons and dynamic 4K in the open world. The frame rate will be a solid 60 FPS in all scenarios, regardless of the location, which is certainly great news for the owners of the current-gen consoles. The players are also asked about ray tracing features on consoles, but the devs did not reply to those questions before we published this article. Additionally, Munfish did not specify if Xbox Series S will be capable of 4K 60 FPS. We presume 1440p 60 FPS without ray tracing is a more likely scenario, but that's yet to be confirmed. If we had to guess, and I don't want to read what they have to guess, Atomic Heart is confirmed to have ray trace reflections on PC, as well as NVIDIA's upscaling tech DLSS. Of course, PC players won't have to worry about frame rate limits, as they'll probably get an unlocked frame rate feature. It's launching on February 21st.
Oh, I can't wait.
Now, we've had developers come out and say this is going to be 4K 60, and it's not. So I don't want to get too anticipatory about this, but I'm just really curious. This game looks like, especially when you've got all the robots chasing after you and stuff.
Yeah.
It looks like a frame rate killer. And I'm really curious to see if it actually can steadily perform 4K 60. I hope so. Otherwise, I hope that they wouldn't have been so robust about their statement and saying it would. But Brandon, you're a frame rate whore.
Sure. No, I...
Brandon, you were trying to run Deep Rock Galactic, one of the least necessary games to have a high frame rate on in like 200 FPS the other day.
Dude, listen, I can get a almost rock solid. I maybe drop a single frame, 165.
Yeah.
Just constant, every single
second.
Does
your monitor even support 165?
That's the highest it goes.
Oh, okay.
My attempt is to have almost every game I possibly can hit my monitor's refresh limit, if possible. If possible. I tried Portal. It didn't really work out too well. Anyway, this is good news. This is good news. You're a little bit iffy about the devs coming out and saying this, but I don't know. I feel like this is a good sign.
I'm just saying I never believe it until I see it, is
right,
what I'm saying.
Right. I would believe it on next-gen consoles. And I'm glad they're at least coming out and saying that. And if it's from the dev team, I honestly would tend to believe them, I guess.
Yeah.
Especially because it's a new developer. Maybe not completely new, but this is their first big hit, right? A lot of people are talking about this game. It was at the Game Awards. I haven't checked the views on YouTube for their combat trailers and stuff, but I know I've watched it like 3 or 4 times at this point. So like the hype is there. I feel like it wouldn't make too much sense to kind of step on your own toes, you know, this close to launch.
Right.
But those are good specs. I like that. There's not a chance in hell it's going to run at 4K 60 on last gen or Series S, I guess.
Series S, probably not. It'll probably be way better than last gen, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. But this is good news. Now I just have to decide where I want to play it, because both of those stats sound acceptable to me. I mean, 60 is like the rock bottom for me at this point.
Right.
I'm not willing to accept anything less than that. But unless it's an old game, when I was playing God of War, you know,
right,
when I was streaming it, I'm not going to expect 60 or even 30 at points. But
right.
No, this is good. I'm glad that they're coming out. I think that not only would it be bad for them to come out and say this, but the fact that they are saying it beforehand and not waiting for us to find out also reinstills my confidence. So, I don't want to be burned. A very small part of me knows that when I get this excited, and I don't get super excited about games, but that I've not been this eager to try a game in a little bit.
Yeah.
So I just hope, a part of me always is ready to be disappointed, but I don't know. We'll see. Dave, does this kind of sway you a little bit? I know we watched some Atomic Heart stuff. I don't know. I know you're not like the frame rate guy, but 4K 60, I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, that for me should kind of be the standard. I've kind of griped before about how the thing I dislike the most about this current generation we're in is sort of like these trade-offs we have between resolution and frame rate and performance and fidelity and blah, blah, blah. If I have the latest console, I should have the best experience without having to pick one or the other. But yeah, I'm really not much of a frame rate whore, as it was put so much. I mean, the game looks great. There's some really vibrant textures and features and art design that's going into this game. So I think it's a game that could really benefit from some intricate ray tracing, and I'm glad to see that it's going to be a part of the game sort of at launch. It's coming to Game Pass, so I'm most likely going to be playing on Series S, so none of this will matter to me, but it's the kind of game where you know, if you don't necessarily have it running at top spec, you're still probably going to have a really, really good time. So,
and I would imagine I'm just
looking for that. It's going to be any day now. We're going to get an announcement about a Switch port. So that's obviously where I want to play. But
I would imagine that if they've got it running 4K 60 on the X, that means better for the Series S. It won't be 4K 60 probably, but if it was like, oh, it's only going to be 30 on the X, then the S would not have a prayer of getting 30, in my opinion. But
Like, I have this love hate, and we could just touch on this real quick. I don't want to go too deep into it, but after, you know, fucking around on the PC with some RTX stuff, I mean, as lovely as ray tracing is in all aspects, I mean, every single aspect of ray tracing, I love the ambiance that can be brought to a game by the way light bounces off of things, by the way reflections cast. Next level. I mean, it takes games to a new level, but part of me really just wonders, Dave said he doesn't like choosing. And, you know, I tend to agree with that. I just want the best possible experience if I am playing on console. Why are we jumping so quick to put ray tracing on consoles when they are powerful? Don't get me wrong. And depending on the game would depend on how that would affect. But the PC has made me realize how much of a sink to your rig of any sort, PS5, Xbox, otherwise, ray tracing truly can be on your system.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I'm always happy to see it as an option, but I would assume that if we get like heavy ray trace options in this sort of game, they would probably be 30.
Yeah.
That's just how it tends to go.
Yeah. I mean, ray tracing's awesome, but you're right. I have a pretty good PC and it kills my performance.
Dude, there is no other setting that I found. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I haven't had my PC for that long. But seriously, there will in some games be 3 ray tracing settings and it eats so much of your shit that you can't have both reflections and lighting on.
Yeah.
I was seeing suggestions like do one or the other because, you know, one's hard enough, let alone both. So, I'm excited, man. It's good shit. I want to melee some robots, dude.
Let's do it.
I was dying laughing when you guys started talking about this because I wanted to research this Atomic Heart stuff.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
And the first result I got from Google was an article titled "Atomic Heart's Robot Twins Are Sending Fans to Horny Jail."
That is the goddamn truth.
There was somebody in the LSM Discord today that posted, I guess it was, I'm assuming it was a meme, maybe it wasn't, but about the developers have confirmed there'll be a 6-hour sex scene with the robot lady.
Bless.
So I made the video I put up. It's like everything you need to know, which it's not everything you need to know, but it's a lot of stuff. And I put it up today, but I finished it on like Thursday or Friday. And so it's just been sitting there waiting to post because I wanted to get in a cycle of posting something like every Tuesday. And then today, a bunch of previews and stuff dropped. And I was like, damn it.
Motherfucker.
All this new info. And then they came out with the 4K 60 stuff. And I was like, oh, whatever. The video is literally scheduled for 15 minutes from now. It's going live.
Fuck it. We're doing it
live. NPD numbers for 2022. December came out too. But I don't really care about 1 month when we've got the whole year to look at here. And not a lot of surprises, but a couple surprises. I'll go from 1 to 20. Best to worst. Best selling to worst selling of the top 20. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Elden Ring, Madden NFL 23, God of War Ragnarok, Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, FIFA 23, Pokemon Legends Arceus, Horizon 2 Forbidden West. I didn't know the official name was Horizon 2. I don't know if it is. Doesn't matter.
I don't think it is either.
MLB The Show 22, Mario Kart 8, Call of Duty Vanguard, Gran Turismo 7, Kirby and the Forgotten Land, NBA 2K23, Sonic Frontiers.
What?
At number 16, Sonic Frontiers. Gotham Knights, number 17. Minecraft, Nintendo Switch Sports, and Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Now, we could talk more about all this stuff, but here's a couple takeaways for me. One, Minecraft's on there. We know it's gonna be on there forever. Mario Kart 8 came out before the Switch was released.
Dude,
Super Smash Bros. Ultimate came out in 2018. They're still in the top 20 for the year.
This just goes to show you, though. I mean, honestly, this goes to show you.
It's the kid money.
Well, that and what good DLC could do.
Yeah, that's true, too.
And I've shit on Mario Kart's DLC before, but if the DLC wasn't there, I'm not saying it wouldn't still be there, but I'm saying it helps. That's all.
Yeah.
Does that count bundles?
So from what I understand, it doesn't count them. No, it does not.
Okay.
So that's just the game.
Correct.
Interesting.
Oh, okay.
What I wanted to say, though, was digital sales are not included for Xbox and Switch games.
What?
They don't report them to the NPD. So, like, you've got Smash, you've got Minecraft, which I guess they'd have some of those numbers from Sony and wherever else they sell it on PC.
Physical Minecraft?
Well, there is a physical version on Xbox and Switch.
Huh.
But, okay, so anyway, you've got Smash, Nintendo Switch Sports, Kirby, Mario Kart 8, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, and Pokemon Legends Arceus. All of those, none of them are reporting digital. So they're all actually probably at the top.
Wow.
Because all the rest of them are reporting digital.
You're right, though. I mean, especially the Pokemon. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Dude. Nintendo is so
I was actually going to say, I was surprised FIFA was so low in a World Cup year.
Well, FIFA only came out recently.
Right.
And it actually, for December, I think it knocked, well, let me double check here. I think FIFA knocked God of War out of its spot, I think.
Okay.
That's what I read earlier. Okay. Maybe that was January. I'm not sure.
But that just tells you like how insanely popular Call of Duty is.
Yeah.
Considering it came out in November and it's number one. And there are some heavy, heavy hitters there with it.
Elden Ring?
Yeah.
God of War?
Dude, all year Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Versus those Call of Duty number. Well,
here's the one that I thought was interesting was Lego Star Wars. Obviously, we know Lego's huge and Star Wars is huge. And they're huge together, of course. But it's just surprising to me that it ended up number five for the year.
Yeah, that is crazy.
And it came out in like, I don't know, April, May, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah. Came out before Ghostwire, which I think was May.
Is there any that we're surprised aren't on there? I can't think of any off the top of my head. I just didn't know if you guys.
No, I don't think so.
I'm surprised by Sonic, too. I mean.
Yeah, but it's Sonic.
I know it's Sonic, but like, did you see the game?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
a lot of people loved it.
I'm sure it's fun, but I don't know. I think I'm outside of that realm, and so I don't get it. But.
Yeah. It's funny. The more I'm not a Sonic guy, but the more I see it, the more I want to play it.
You can like run around, and then coins will pop out of the earth. So I saw some dude outline a dick, and then when he was done, coins popped out. It's kind of fun. I might be interested. I might like Sonic. After all, holy shit! I'm a Sonic fan.
Brandon, you said something that.
That's how it goes.
I'm wondering about now. You said that just shows you what good DLC will do. What were you talking about?
Mario Kart 8 DLC and Smash characters.
But neither one of those are reported on this. Because they're
I know.
They don't report.
I know. That's what blew my mind when you said that. I'm like, holy shit, people are still buying these games, and it's not because of the DLC. Well,
on Nintendo, it means they're literally buying them this many physically. We know that the numbers for digital are just going up and up.
Insane, bro. Mario Kart 8 still. Smash still. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Because all the shit I've talked about Switch, these are the best games.
Sure.
I mean, course. Easily.
Yeah.
You know, but it's crazy, dude.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Boys, let's talk about what we've been playing. I'm going to go first because I have almost nothing to say. I've been playing games, but very, very little new. And been playing more Deep Rock. Just a wonderful game. Need to play it with Dave, but I refuse to switch to PlayStation, so get on your shit, Deep Rock, and make it happen for
us. Yeah, seriously.
Here's something that's interesting. I've been playing a lot of Solitaire.
Classic?
Classic and whatever, Spider, I don't know, whatever.
Spider Solitaire?
Yeah, it's on the computer.
Sure.
It's not the the computer version, but it's, you know. And it's not like, you know, I'm not riveted by it, but it's something I've been doing while I've been listening to a podcast or something like that. And I feel like it's really good for my mind.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's very calming. I've been playing it and try to go to sleep earlier and finding out some new strategies for Solitaire that I didn't even know existed and like finding out when it's better to move this and that and stuff like that. So I don't know. And I'm talking like, you know, maybe half an hour a day or something, like
sure.
at most. But yeah, that's the biggest thing I've been playing is Solitaire.
Ben,
the biggest new thing I've been playing.
You're a fucking gamer, dude. You're so into card games right now, dude. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's true. I've played a little bit less Marvel Snap this week, but I'm still loving it.
Yeah.
It's just that Solitaire kind of, you know.
Dude,
took the place.
It's evergreen.
Yeah,
it really is.
That Solitaire Battle Pass.
Oh, dude, I can't wait.
Imagine if there was.
Do the cards go crazy when you win? That's the only
one.
No,
I have
like.
That turned off.
Oh,
it's too intensive,
dude.
There's no ray tracing. I don't want it.
That's the best part. That's the payoff. That's literally the payoff for winning. Oh my god.
No, the payoff is the ding ding sound that you get.
The payoff is the what did the EA say? Respect and gratitude. I don't know.
But no, I've been playing Call of Duty. I played some Deep Rock. But last week after starting and finishing two games this week, I didn't do any of that. Oh, a lot of Vampire Survivors the last two nights.
Yeah, I need to get back on that.
Mostly because you were like, you want to play a game? And I was like, sure. And then we played a game. And then you were like, I'm going to bed. I was like, great. I should do something maybe I'll just play Vampire Survivors there and then go, solitaire, dude. And then go to sleep.
Suck so, you in, dude.
Yeah. Brandon, you're up next.
Cool. Finish Neon White.
Yes. Oh,
holy shit, man. I talked a lot about this game last week, so I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but this would have easily been in my top three last year, without any question. And if a game like God of War Ragnarok wouldn't have come out last year, it would have been my number two. Easily. I was not expecting to like this game as much as I did. A lot of the story of this game can be perceived as kind of like cheesy or cringy at points. But by the end, if you really dig into it, I actually kind of was feeling things. You know, the character development was really interesting. I felt like I had spent all this time with a team. And yeah, I just think this will be a game that I never forget, to be completely honest with you. And I was not expecting that whatsoever. 25 hours roughly it took me, but man, I'm gonna have to play this again sometime.
Yeah,
for sure.
Did you go do all the challenges and try to beat times and stuff like that?
So I got platinum rank or whatever the greenish teal is on every single challenge. I said this last week, but there is a rank above that. It's like reddish. I haven't done any of that, but I collected all the presents. So I did every single bit of story in the whole game.
Yeah.
And collected everything. So that's also really satisfying to just completely 100% a game.
Sure.
I've been seeing this a lot around the internet, but like, this is the game that makes you feel like you're a speedrunner.
Yeah. Even when you're not.
Yeah. And that is, as someone who has very deeply enjoyed speedrunning for the good portion of my life.
Watching it, not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you speedrun?
No. Okay. I don't do it. And that's why I'm saying it's so cool to feel like you're a part. You're not.
Right.
You're not. I mean, I've seen people speedrun Neon White. It's unfathomable. It took me over 20 hours and I saw someone do it in 25 minutes.
Yeah.
The whole game.
Yeah.
But this game is so cool. Please check it out. Even if you're slightly interested, just watch some videos on it. Playing it really is the only way to experience it, though.
Yeah.
And I would heavily, heavily suggest to anybody who is considering playing it, if you have no other way to play it other than on a controller of some sort or Switch, fine. This game should be played on mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
And as someone who's played on controller for years and years and years, it's kind of blasphemous for me to say that, but
one of us.
There is no other way to play this. So I said I wasn't going to spend a long time. I spent a long time. It's a great game. Please play it. Kind of in a little bit of a lull after I beat that. I felt kind of depressed, to be honest with you, because I was so high, right? Yeah. And then I beat something and I didn't know what to do. But I found this game. Dustin suggested it to me. I remember seeing previews about this game. Have you guys heard of a game called Super Luminal?
I think Dave reviewed it.
No.
Holy shit, guys.
One of us, somebody on our team reviewed it. I don't know.
Super short from what I understand.
Oh, Super Liminal. Okay, yes.
Super Liminal?
Yeah, I did.
Liminal. Insane puzzle game. So incredibly heavily inspired by Portal, which is one of my favorite games of all time. It has the room-to-room feel of Portal. It has the quippy intercom voice, just like Portal, but... this game tackles puzzles in such a unique way. I've played games like Maquette from Annapurna. This blows it out of the water instantly. The way they do puzzles in this game and the way they do perspective is unlike any game I've ever seen. And it really bends your mind in such a way that it's so intriguing for me that I've played so many hours of video games, maybe not all the puzzle games, but... You know, I'm setting out to complete some of my resolutions and I'm trying this really awesome puzzle game and I'm loving it so far, man.
Does it make you feel stupid?
Yes.
It made me feel stupid.
I'm telling you, one time I looked over to Lauren and I was like, there's literally nothing in this room. How the fuck do I do this puzzle? I looked over, I'm like, am I tripping? Am I actually tripping? There's two buttons and I have to stand on both of them at once. What am I doing?
Yeah.
Eventually I figured it out. There was a sign hanging from the wall that looked like, anyway.
Yeah.
Check this game out. If you like puzzle games, the way this game presents itself to you is so stylish and wonderful. And the way it's handling perspective is so interesting. It's almost like one of those, do you guys know those like tiny rooms where you look down a hallway and it looks like a whole hall, but when you walk to the end of the room, it's a little tiny door and it's perspective?
Yeah.
Imagine that, but like in some of the craziest ways I've never seen in a first-person video game. That's just one little example. It's so cool. I'm hyped to play it some more.
But I'm going to have to go back to it because I think when Dave or whoever it was that reviewed it, I think I jumped in for a little bit because we had access, but I didn't actually play it. I just wanted to see it.
And it really doesn't hold your hand. I mean, like it's truly a puzzle game. I shit you not, a couple times I'm like, I haven't looked anything up about the game yet because I really want to dig deep into this and I've figured it out everything so far, but definitely check it out. It's so short too. Yeah. I think it's probably like literally a couple hours long.
Well, it just depends on how good you are at puzzles.
Well, exactly. I'm not, but that's it.
Cool.
That's it, man. Looking for suggestions. I'm thinking about Devil May Cry 5, but
dude, I literally downloaded it last night.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't decided when I'm going to play it yet, but I downloaded it. Well, I didn't. I have it physically because I got it for $2 at Walmart on clearance.
Nice, dude.
And I popped it in and let it load or whatever. Right. But I haven't actually played it yet.
So, Dave, tell me this. You played the Devil May Cry. Did you play 5?
No, I got to... I did 1, 2, and 3 last year and I stopped there. Not saying I won't play more, but I just kind of paused on it. So.
I'm not going to play the old ones, but I think the reason I haven't checked out this game, even though it's been suggested to me so many times, is because I have the thing where I feel like I'm jumping into the 5th iteration of a series, because I am.
Right.
And so I know media typically is pretty forgiving in that sense. Maybe you'll miss out on some stuff, but I guess since you haven't played up until 5, you can't really tell me whether you think that will be a super big hindrance.
Right.
Maybe someone in the Discord has played all the Devil May Cries. I've talked about it before. I've had people recommend it to me on the Discord before, but I think I might actually finally buy it now that I'm kind of in a lull. So we'll see.
Go for it.
Five is the one that came out most recently, correct?
Yes. And there was a PS5 update for it and everything. So I don't think I have it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did kind of look into that, and I think you can jump in and you won't be too lost. It is good to kind of know who Dante is and who Virgil is and why they're so angry at each other. But yeah, I think you'll be fine.
I could just watch like a supercut or something. Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's it, guys.
David, you're up.
Yeah. Can confirm. I did do a Superliminal review December 10th, 2019.
Okay.
And we did a video review. I think Dustin, helped me out with that, but, yeah.
That's just good.
I have nothing new that I've been playing. I've only been playing NHL 23, Marvel Snap, and Cyberpunk. I do kind of want to do a bit of a post-mortem on Cyberpunk, just because it's such an interesting game. Not just because it's Cyberpunk, but just playing it like 2 years after the fallout of its release it's kind of interesting to look back at. I'm literally just about to start the last mission. I've done like a lot of side stuff. Anyways, it's kind of obvious now from like this hindsight point to see, why everything happened the way it did, just because like I'm realizing now that Cyberpunk was such an ambitious game. I look at like all the different kind of elements that are in it. Like it is a first person shooter. It is a stealth game. It is like a Deus Ex style open access sort of mission structure game. It's a full open world game. It's a game with a huge emphasis on narrative and world building and characters and stuff. And I just having played it, and seeing how all these things were kind of crammed into one thing, I'm realizing now that like it really shouldn't have been a surprise that this was, I don't want to say this was too much for CD Projekt Red, but I don't know. There's just so much going on. I think about like, I really like Cyberpunk and I'm going to remember this game for a long time. What I like most about it is its story, its characters, its production value is just absolutely top notch. Like, everybody has something interesting to say and an interesting story to tell. And, you know, there was a lot of publicity around Keanu Reeves. And Johnny Silverhand is a really interesting character, but like, I think Keanu Reeves as like someone in the game is one of the weaker points, and that's not necessarily too much against him. I've always found him to be a bit of a corny actor, but that's more of like a testament to the other performances that are in the game. So like, I'm doing a lot of side content, not so much because I want to play more of the game or I want to get new weapons or I want to like shoot stuff and all that. It's because I'm interested to know what happens with these people and like where things go and stuff like that, because it's just so well written. With that said, like, as a shooter, it's fine. As a stealth game, it's fine. I did have a lot more fun with Deus Ex, and I'm just gonna say it, I had a lot more fun with Watch Dogs. And I bring up Watch Dogs because this game was Watch Dogs is a Ubisoft punching bag, just like a lot of their franchises are, but sure, there's a lot of elements in that game that would not be there without Watch Dogs. So, you know, the driving is fine. The open world is great and stuff. And again, I really, really like this game, but just there's so many elements about it that are just kind of like good, but it, you know, Witcher kind of focused in on like really, really cool combat and really, really good story. And I just kind of feel like, standing back and looking at this game, that Cyberpunk just tried to do way too much. But I still really like it. It's a good game. I'm going to remember it for a long time. I want to play more after I kind of complete the campaign. Just because, again, there's things I want to see through. But yeah, that's kind of it. Sorry, I went a little long on a game. No, I've talked about a few times, but
one of your resolutions is to get platinums. Is this a platinum contender? Because what I understand, it's very, you got to actually plan it out.
No. I am planning my ending a little bit. Like, yeah. I did a bit of reading to kind of see, like, I haven't spoiled anything for myself, but I don't want a bad ending. I've made sure I've tied up certain loose ends before I go into that last mission. But I know for the platinum, you literally have to do everything. And
right,
I'm keen to move on to something else. So yeah, this will not be one of my platinums. But yeah, you know what? One of the games I've been thinking about a lot, and I think I want to platinum it, but I almost think it might be too easy for me to count towards that sort of goal. I did say as a stretch goal, it would be like 3 or 4 platinum. So maybe if I get this one first, I can stretch it out to that 3 or 4. But Ratchet and Clank, ripped a fart. Because apparently that game, like, I think PowerPix had it like a 2 or 3 out of 10 for platinums. And
it's really easy.
In the first playthrough. But I really want to play that game. So
just so you know, Dave, it does require a second playthrough. But you don't have to play through the whole game. I think I started my second playthrough and played for about 10 minutes and got the final thing I needed.
Right.
So,
yeah, there's like a single trophy that's tied behind one enemy type, and there's like one shy that you encounter within like the first 20 or 30 minutes.
Right. So that's a game where I think, like, if you can play through it pretty much once, and as long as you're careful and, you know, kind of do a bit of exploration, like, that's a platinum.
Yeah. Right.
Cyberpunk to me is a game that, like, for me, I would have to play that game until I was completely sick of it in order to get the platinum. And I don't want to do that.
So. Absolutely. Yeah, it takes the enjoyment out of
it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's all we got. Don't forget to join the Patreon over at patreon.com/handsomephantom. $1 a month. We appreciate it. And the Discord, of course, handsomephantom.com/discord. Hop on in, enjoy the ride. Brandon, will you be looking at Atomic Heart Rule 34 subreddit, if that exists tonight?
I won't tell.
Okay.
Hey, remember, man, sharing is caring.
You know the answer to that, Ben.
Dave already did during the show. So I just, you know, just curious.
Glad we're all here.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next time.
The HP Podcast is brought to you by our patrons over at patreon.com/handsomephantom. Thanks to our producers, Grabalicious, Christian Snow, Rainick, Chris Bylock, Derek O, Nuke Dukem, Brian Parrott, H-Trons, Maurice Bays, Passive Pixels, Edwin Castillo, Boots, Poot, Jared, Josh Cummings, Edward Walton, Charles Peterson, Toby Ryland, Wormhat.